It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown.
Well, I do hope you've hit record on the device, Corey. I'd hate for us to start talking and not have our conversation recorded for our listeners to hear. No, that wouldn't do at all.
This is B-Movie Breakdown, episode number 29. I'm Corey.
I'm DRC, but you can call me Aunt Martha if you wish.
Oh boy, I don't think we need Aunt Martha on our hands right now. She's a little too much to handle. I think for anybody, I have a feeling I know why her husband left her.
I have a feeling I know why Angela's so screwed up. I think she had some Aunt Martha on her hands, if you know what I mean. And I think because I'm talking like this.
Or Aunt Martha had a little bit of Angela on her hands.
I've heard of getting your pinky all stinky, but my, that's just ridiculous.
The B-Movie Breakdown is a podcast where we find humor and enjoyment in low-budget and lesser-known films of the past and present, home the good, bad, and the what-the-fuck. Each week's movie will be revealed in the prior episode, so you too can join in on the madness. This week's movie, Sleepaway Camp, is a cult classic and a absolute favorite of mine, I feel. It's a movie that gets overshadowed by Friday the 13th by being, I think people just put it off as another, your typical slasher movie, and it has those, those elements of your typical slasher camp movie, but it is oh so much more. There's so much more going on in the background and in the foreground of this movie, and it's just absolutely...
And in the undercarriage. I suppose we should throw out a spoiler warning before we go much further. If you've not seen this masterpiece of cinema history, stop right now, go watch it on YouTube, and come back to us when you are done. We cannot be held responsible if we ruin the climactic ending for you, and you have not seen it before.
Yeah, the ending is definitely something else. It is very shocking, for especially first-time viewers. Go watch it. It's in full on YouTube. It's hard to find on DVD. I have a box set I got off eBay, and it is a survival kit of all three movies, plus the unfinished fourth movie.
Which is still unfinished, despite being finished, sort of, somehow.
So, yeah, so I really, really highly recommend seeing this movie. If you're a fan of horror movies, fan of slashers, Friday the 13th, movies like that, definitely check out Sleepaway Camp, the ending, and don't read anything about it before you see it. That is one thing that'll ruin the entire movie for you, because while the movie doesn't really lead too much as to who the killer is, because it's pretty obvious to who it is throughout the whole movie, the ending really, really is something else, and is just pretty mind-blowing. I forgot to mention, you can listen to us if you subscribe on iTunes, on our website, bnbpodcast.com, or on Stitcher. You can reach us on our site and our email, bnbpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter, @bnbpodcast, or on Facebook. Send your suggestions our way. I'm sure in the future we will be doing the sequels to this movie, because I would love to see how they pan out. I know the sequels are on Netflix. I don't know about Return to Sleepaway Camp, but I know it's 2 and 3 are on Netflix. So maybe, I don't know why the first one's not. Maybe it had something to do with the director not wanting it to be on there or something like that. I don't know who owns the rights. I know this DVD set was put out by Anchor Bay.
According to the wiki page, the director of the original owns the series now, I believe.
Oh, well, the second and third ones are on. Maybe he only owns the first and the other one he made, since he didn't want to... He ignored 2 and 3, and he doesn't kind of want anything to do with those, so maybe that's why they're on Netflix. And the first one and the official fourth or whatever one isn't. So, to start off, this movie is... Okay, start off, the movie is in memory of Mom, a doer.
Yep.
What is that about? Why does it say a doer?
Well, I would rather be a doer than a do-nothing.
Yeah, I guess, but what a weird, in-memory thing of to say, like, after, in memory of my mother, That's all you had to say? A doer? He was a doer.
Well, that could have had their own in-family significance, you don't know.
Yeah, yeah, and a very odd movie to dedicate something to your mother.
Well, considering it was the only movie he'd made at that point, and only movie he'd made until 25 years later.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Yeah, who knows? Very, very weird. I mean, you start off right at the right off the start. I mean, you get this movie is full of surprises. It's full of amazing quotes around that acting and some amazing fake mustaches.
Oh, yeah.
Because the police officer who shows up multiple times in this movie.
Clearly fake mustache just taped on or whatever.
It's literally, you can see the tape.
Yep.
And at one point, I almost thought it was painted on because it's that bad. It's just, it's so plastered to his face and taped on.
Like, the first scene with him, I didn't really notice it, but when he comes back, I was like, oh boy.
Like, I've seen some fake mustaches at, like, Halloween stores that look a lot better than that. Couldn't they have gotten anything better than what they got? Literally, it looks like they took some literal hair off the top of somebody's head and taped it, like, plastered into somebody's face. It was, like, the worst fake mustache I've ever seen in any movie.
Well, I guess we'll just have to call him Officer Chicken or Officer Baldy.
We couldn't have an Officer Baldy as an authority figure in this movie, Corey. That wouldn't do.
No, that just wouldn't do. So the movie starts off very, very odd because it starts off with a lot of camp chatter and stuff like that, yet the camp is for sale. You see a for sale sign. So I don't know if the chatter was supposed to be of past, like you're hearing these past conversations that have been going on.
Yeah, the beginning isn't very clear. I assume this is after the end of the movie, and they're just like, oh, why is it abandoned and for sale? Oh, here's a flashback to something well before that.
Yeah,
and then we'll flash
years
forward
ago, and then here's 8 years later. But when it's 8 years ago, you see a boy, and whose name is Peter. You find out very early on. Boy Peter, his sister, and their dad.
Sister Angela.
Sister Angela, as we is known to right now, on a boat, like a little dinghy out in the water, and they get hit by a speedboat.
Yep, these kids at the camp there, they're screwing around on a speedboat. It's a guy and a girl. I think the guy, I don't know if he's a counselor, I would hope so, because why would you just let anybody drive
things? He had a lifeguard shirt on, and he even says, like, if I let you drive this boat, I'm going to get fired. Is your dad going to get me a job?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I get fired?
Oh, yeah, she's like, yeah, let me drive the boat. Come on, my old man's got one twice as big. one of many lines of the movie right there. You don't even need to add it. That's what she said, because it is what she said.
Yeah, the beginning is really, like you said, is really weird. You get the family out there swimming, and then this man runs up. And is like, John, we gotta go, the doctor is here. And you're like, okay, who is this guy?
Yeah.
You're like, you have no, like, idea who this man is. And I don't know, you don't know if it's gonna play into later on. And they don't address anything about the past until way the fuck into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this scene is almost insignificant.
Yeah, until later.
Till later.
For repeat viewings, you'll be like, ah.
They get hit by the boat. No one does anything when they get hit. It almost looks like his arm just got hit by the boat, even. Mm-hmm. And then you see a floating, chopped up, I guess by the boat propeller life jacket. And you're led to believe that just the daughter survived, though you couldn't tell.
Yeah, the boy is seen floating face down in the water, but doesn't really seem to be hurt that bad. But it's just like, oh, okay, well, I guess they don't want to show little kids being torn up.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it was funny, because these kids from the camp, they're out screwing around on the boat. The one guy's driving, he's doing fine. His stupid girlfriend bugs him to, you know, let her drive the thing. He doesn't want to. He does anyway. And then her dumbass, fucking around, just ends up plowing over her family and killing them, or at least two of them. And I'm just like, women drivers, am I right?
Yeah, she kills two of them. The little girl, you don't even know that the little girl is a survivor until they cut to the next scene, which is 8 years later, but it's still not really, it's a really poor job explaining.
Yeah.
Because when they show Angela and Ricky, you don't really get at first that that's the girl from the accident.
No.
Because you don't even know that I didn't know that if it was going to be, if it was Ricky or Angela until she says, oh, Ricky, your cousin Angela.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that she's her cousin. And then when they say her name is Martha, then I put the connection because when they're on the boat, the little girl says, oh, is that Martha coming? Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, otherwise, you would not know why the fuck they showed you that scene.
Because
they don't explain, like, oh, 8 years later, and Angela's sitting here, and this is the same. Or she's looking at a picture of her, you know, from that day or something. At least something to make it so that, like, you know that this is the same person. There's nothing. There really is nothing. I did love when they get hit by the boat, and the girl that was on the skis is just sitting in the water screaming, somebody help them!
I don't know how she could even...
What are they doing?
I don't know how she could even see what happened to them, seeing as she's only at their level. I mean, she probably knows they were hit, but she can't see.
She's like, they're gonna die! Somebody help them! As everybody just sits there and stares. The kids in the boat, and then the man who was telling them they need to go, they're running late because the doctor's here, he just stands there and looks too. He doesn't even jump in the water to save anybody. No, nobody does nothing to save anybody in this situation. They just let them die. They could have been saved. You never know.
Camp Arawak? More like Camp Apathy. Oh!
So, you really don't know who Richard and Angela are. You really... It's a terrible job explaining anything. And then you're introduced to the super creepo Aunt Martha.
Who looks like a drag queen, except she sounds too feminine to be a drag queen, but she's, oh my god. I wish there could have been more of this character in this movie somehow. She is just so batshit crazy.
That's all I can think of is like, what is this lady's deal? Everything she said, she would just second guess with, oh, I'm afraid that wouldn't do.
Hurry, sweeties, we don't want to be late for the bus. Goodness no, that wouldn't do at all. Richard, Angela. Here, I packed some goodies for you. Wasn't that nice of me? Did you give us any chips? Oh, yes, I packed a whole bag. I'm sure of it. Now let's go.
I'm sure of it. Like, the delivery alone is, it's almost like,
oh, I believe that I've forgotten something. Oh, now what could it be? Oh, that's right, I remember. I knew I wouldn't forget. I just kept reminding myself. I tied a string around my finger. And she just stops and stares at the string on her finger. And Ricky's like, oh, Mom, what is it? Oh, yes. I've got your physicals for you. I filled them all out. Signed by yours truly. Wasn't that nice of me? Just don't tell anyone where you got them. They wouldn't approve of that at all. Even though they know I'm a doctor. And why? Why would this be a thing? Well, we'll find out later.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, it... Why would it matter if they told anybody? And why would they tell anybody? When they got to camp, wouldn't they just turn it in? And you know what? When they turn them in, you know what somebody would do? The person taking them would do? Would look at them and not give two fucks.
Yeah, they're probably going to be either some late teen, early 20s kid who doesn't give a fuck. They're there to mostly party and fuck around. Or one of the many pedo creepo staff members who just wouldn't care anyway. Like, I won't tell anybody where you got it, as long as you suck my pee-pee.
Oh, let me touch that baldy for you. Just like,
I'll give you a physical of my own. You know what? Turns out that one from your Aunt Martha won't do. It just won't do at all. Here, let me take your temperature with my meat thermometer.
Hold on. Hold my piece of metal I chew on for me for a second.
He was chewing on metal? Oh yeah, my god.
It was like a piece of metal. That's what it looked like. It looked like a long like piece of like thin metal. That's what it looked like.
This camp was more hardcore than I thought.
It was like, yeah, a really thin piece of metal. That's what it looked like. A really flimsy, thin piece of metal. Yeah, I just didn't understand why she was so insistent on not knowing where the physicals came from. Because, like, nobody would know anything about... Nobody would question anything about Angela. Nobody would be like, oh, why? What is with this physical? Are you really this?
Actually, a lot of people do question Angela and for things that wouldn't you you wouldn't think would make sense, but we'll get there.
Yeah, it's a very interesting beginning to the movie. I did love the introduction to the chef character, Artie.
Well, first of all, this is 1983, and early 80s is still in a lot of ways basically the 70s. And so, like, all the fucking short shorts on these people, especially, like, the guys. Like, if any guys were, like, in charge of a camp now in these, you know, borderline Speedo shorts, they'd probably be, you know, arrested, fined, whatever.
It always reminds me of, even though it was made sooner, but what had American Summer, how they really, really overdid the short shorts on purpose, just because in these movies, these camp movies, there was always the shortest of the short shorts, so...
And then Counselor Gino, later in the movie, he's not only got a sleeveless bro tank, he actually, like, cuts it off, like, just beneath his pecs. Oh. So he's just wearing, like shirt, something that would be, like, you know, gay, okay, like, any other point in time.
I've always seen, like, you know, it was, like, an early 80s thing, like, half shirts. This was not even a half shirt, this was, like, a fourth shirt.
Yep.
It was literally, you might as well not be wearing a shirt at this
point.
Well,
Gino, what I'd like to know is, why even bother with a shirt at all at this point?
Yeah, seriously. But I really, really loved the introduction to the cook, Artie, who had a very short-lived role in the movie. But he starts off and he's like, look at all the young, fresh chicken. Where I come from, we call them baldies. Makes your mouth water, don't it? And then the older camp cook or maintenance guy's like, Artie, they're too young to even understand what's on your mind. And he goes, there ain't no such thing as being too young. You're just too old. Like, holy shit. I literally, my mind wasn't even blown at that, like, by that as much as I couldn't. I was still getting, I was still not over the whole calling them baldies.
Yeah.
I was just like, these are little girls and little boys.
And the camp owner, Mel, for as much as he wants to freak out about the accidents happening, you'd think his place would have been shut down long ago, keeping such an obvious pet on the payroll. But yeah, this is fine. This gets to just fly and keep going, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, it's okay. Shit happens. So, and you're also introduced to Ricky's best friend, Paul.
Paul's my boy.
Yeah, Paul, who gives us some interesting details about Judy. Apparently,
Ricky's camp girlfriend from last year. Yeah. Like, hey, Rick, you see Judy yet? Man, oh man, holding his hands out, just like, ugh.
Yeah, apparently, that's why I wrote on. I was like, Judy apparently has big tits now. And she's also too good for Ricky now as well. Since she's gotten her larger breasts, she's taken a liking to the older gents.
Okay, yeah, she does, and she basically wants to blow Ricky off and act like nothing happened. You're just a child, and I'm so mature now. Girls mature quicker than boys, you know. Oh, bullshit, for one. The guy that plays Ricky's 18. His character's not. The guy who's playing him is 18.
He looks
like
he's like 13
years
old.
Yeah, he does. But she, for supposedly having these big tits that Paul tells us about, when you finally see her in a swimsuit, they don't look very big at all. In fact, she gives Angela shit for being flat-chested, and Judy has no room to call anybody flat-chested.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she definitely had some boobage going on, but nothing, like, insane.
And another thing, her hair drove me nuts the whole fucking movie. She's got it all long, and it's, like, kind of kinky-ish, and I didn't really like it, but she's got it all long, but she's got, like, one half of it in a pigtail, and the other half is just left straight. I was just like, oh my god, fucking hate this.
A lot of the introductions are really, really interesting. Camp Counselor Meg, who has, for some reason, spell her name. She's like, my name is Meg, M-E-G, like, okay.
Really? Here, I thought it was gonna be, P-H-E-M-O-N, but, alright.
Yeah, and right off the bat, Angela, not talkative, very creepy. She hasn't talked or eaten in 3 days.
Oh.
When they're at the table, they mention how she hasn't talked or eaten in 3 days. I'll just go out there right now. We already said the spoiler thing before, and we spoil movies on here when we talk about them, so we always highly suggest you've watched the movie beforehand, or if you don't care. But they don't hide it at all, Angela being the killer. They really don't.
No.
She's
pretty much anybody that does anything to her later gets killed or at least maimed. Like the first guy, I don't know why he wasn't just killed outright. They take him away, he's still alive. You don't find out what ultimately happens to him.
Yeah, and if they and it, they didn't, it doesn't seem like they wanted to hide that Angela was the killer, because if they wanted to, they maybe would have had a few other people die that maybe did something to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So then you maybe think like, oh, maybe it was Paul, maybe it was, you know, so and so or Judy or somebody like that. Like, oh, this person wronged this person. So it's always somebody who wronged Angela, except for when she decides to chop up little kids. And the sleeping bags.
Yeah, that
kill was, there was no, there was, yeah,
no
mode. There was nothing behind that.
That one. Was, yeah, I don't even know why.
Just
that
mindless
happened.
Chopping up. That's all that was. It's a mindless, you know, I don't know. But yeah, they make it very obvious that Angela's the killer. You have no reason to believe throughout the rest of the movie that anybody else is. Even when the owner of the camp, Mel, is continuously accusing Ricky of being the killer. There's no point where you, as a viewer, think that he would be the killer. Even with Mel's accusations.
Yeah, not as a viewer, but if you were in it like Mel, I guess, yeah. I could see
at
that.
At one point, Ricky says, like, oh, I was sleeping in my bunk. Like, when all these things are going on, like, he wasn't at the social, so...
That would sound suspicious.
I don't know if that was their little try at trying to get you to think that maybe, okay, maybe it is Ricky, but I didn't really do the job. I did like Ronnie, the camp counselor. I liked that character a lot. There were some different types of characters you got in this movie as opposed to normal camp movies, especially ones that are like this. Usually a lot of them are bullies to the nerdy people and stuff like that, almost all of them. And you would expect somebody like Ronnie to definitely be, but he was honestly one of the nicer guys at the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely tried to help Angela in any sort of way and try to get her to fit in. And there were a couple other women counselors and...
I forget the one's name. Yeah, she was really nice in trying to shut shit down when Judy and Meg are getting out of control.
Yeah, there were a few nice people as opposed to when a lot of these movies you just get, they're all dicks. To the one person who, you know, is like the nerdy or outcast or whatever. Usually a lot of them are dicks to that one person. But yeah, Angela, super creepy, super shy, hasn't eaten or talked in 3 days. And so Ronnie, the one counselor, decides to take her to the kitchen.
Like, well, we'll see if we can find you something that you will like to eat, which I guess makes sense. But then he decides to leave her alone with the pedo cook, which is always a good decision.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And, like, right away I was like, oh, geez, I can't believe she's leaving him with this guy.
Here,
but
Angela,
I really didn't
come
think,
back in the pantry.
Yeah, I really
me.
Didn't think what was going to happen, because there's other people in the kitchen at the time, too.
Oh, this guy gave no fucks, and apparently nobody else on the staff did either. Or if they did, it was just superficial enough to, hey, break it up, you two. Get back to cooking, you.
Yeah, he takes her in the back and then starts undoing his pants.
Oh, yeah.
And is like, well, I'm going to give you something to eat, all right? Like,
too bad Angela didn't follow suit.
Yeah,
that would have been.
Yeah, that's always what I kept thinking. Like throughout the movie, knowing what happens at the end, having seen this movie before. Like, what if somebody had gone through with something, like, and found out? Like, what would their reaction be? What would they do? Like, would they have to be murdered on sight because they found out? Is that why Paul ends up dying, because he finds out? Like, is that why she kills him? Because there's really no other reason for her to kill him other than that he ends up kissing Judy at one point, but apologizes for it. And he really didn't kiss Judy. Judy really kissed him. So he ends up apologizing for it and stuff. I don't really know why she killed him at the end. But, yeah, the cook is... He's basically going to rape her until Ricky busts in, and then he gets all, like, down and out. And then he ends up being the first victim, which you get that classic POV killer view. And actually the hands, anytime it's the hands, it's Ricky's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Because Angela, the girl who played Angela, Felissa Rose, she had in her contract that she wouldn't be shown killing anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, because she was younger or something, or
her
parents,
I guess that
maybe
makes
didn't
sense.
Want her to... But yeah, it was just hands, so... But yeah, it was Ricky's hands, actually, that were... the person doing everything, and he ends up you find out right away that the person killing is a kid.
It's funny,
they didn't leave any mystery.
Every time somebody gets killed, they see the killer. You don't get to see the face, but they're, oh, it's you, what are you doing here, what do you want?
Yeah.
Oh, well, hey, stop it, you crazy
well,
kid.
Well, yeah, when he when they pull the cook's chair,
well, this is
the,
funny.
The cook instantly goes, "Oh, it's one of you dumb kids! Like, leaving no mystery. Like you're already taking the list of killers from this big and making it okay. It's one of the kids. It's not couldn't be any adult because like." I don't know if Ronnie was necessarily a teenager. He seemed like to be like an older person that was like just in charge of the camp. Like Mel was the owner, but Ronnie seemed to be like one of the guys in charge. I mean, he could have been, I guess, a teenager if they wanted to be. But I mean, they really slimmed down the choices right then and there by having him say, "Oh, it's one of you stupid kids."
Well, what I thought was really funny is I wouldn't think this would work, but apparently they have this gigantic tall pot to try to boil all these ears of corn in. I would think this would take forever being in such a giant pot, not just have several smaller pots going at once.
It was really long. It was like the longest
pot ever. Yeah, it was a pot you had to climb a ladder to throw the corn into. It was so ridiculous. So it's full of boiling water, and the cook's trying to salt the water, and he gets up on a chair to do it, and then the killer pulls the chair away, or starts to, and he, you know, has a second to angst about it and shout at the killer before yanking it away completely and knocks the pot of scalding water on him. And then you get a very lengthy scene of him
just on the ground
screaming, and, like, the boils actually seem to be, like, you know, popping anew and boiling on his face, so that was kind of good.
But then
he just screams and keeps screaming and doesn't stop. And even when they cut to him being taken away by the medics, he's still screaming. I just wrote down, he didn't stop screaming the entire time.
Yeah.
He's, ah!
Yeah, I thought that was, for being a low-budget movie, which I don't know, maybe they spent all their money on that one effect, because that makeup effect was done really well, with the boils and the popping and all that stuff. And then the one cook, the other cook, Ben, he runs in, and he doesn't really even do anything. He just stares at him and watches him scream.
Once again, camp apathy.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, that scene was really long. I was just like, how much longer are we going to have to listen to this guy scream and stare at his disgusting face? And immediately the owner, Mel, doesn't want anyone to know.
And the thing is,
what's going on there? That's some, like, background stuff that you're not privy to, because, like, why doesn't he want anyone to know? It's just an accident. As far as they're concerned, the pot fell over on him. He got burned. That could happen to anybody.
Well,
that literally.
You know how any kind of person that has a lot of money, owns anything, corporation or whatever, could hate even the slightest hint of bad publicity. Oh, if parents hear about this accident, they might pull a kid anyway. You know, take your store manager you're talking about that made the assistant manager kill himself. Don't talk about this. People know he worked for our company in the paper, and we don't want them to know.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense, but
we don't want them to know they're shopping at the suicide store.
Little did they know they were every day mindlessly walking through
the suicide store. They still are.
So yeah,
this is the back room where he hung himself.
I did right after that, though. One thing, I don't know if we were going to touch it at all, but I did think the mind over matter game was quite interesting and hilarious.
Oh yeah,
just basically putting your ass in somebody's face.
Well, they've got this kid. They call him Mozart. I thought it was like a nickname or like an insult. They're
apparently
calling
that kid was really bullied on set by all the kids and stuff in real life.
Oh, that
and
sucks.
The guy who played Ronnie ended up having to, like, stick up for him and, like, tell everybody to back off, and ended up becoming, like, a big brother kind of ish sense on set because he was really bullied on set in real life.
Oh, I don't like that. That's shitty.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely shitty.
But anyway, this kid, they're telling him he's laying down on the ground. They're saying they're trying to, like, hypnotize him or whatever, like, we're telling you, you won't be able to do a single sit-up, and as long as your mind believes that, it won't work. So get ready, keep your eyes closed, now go. And he does, and then gets a kid's bare ass in his face.
Yeah, and it's just a very weird little game that they played right before they go to their baseball game, which, at the baseball game, one of the most ridiculous lines is uttered, where somebody says, "Eat shit and die."
And then, "Eat shit and die, Ricky."
And then the other guy, and Ricky responds, "Eat shit and live, Bill."
Oh, I know. It was wonderful. Like, one of the things I love about this movie is they let, you know, teenage kids actually act how they are. You know, they they swear and they do dumb shit. They're cockier than they should be. And, you know, it's, that's just how they are. Not this fucking watered down Hollywood bullshit, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog with a Blog, whatever the hell, you know, meta, super meta self-aware, you know, sound like an adult talking through a kid's body, talking about, you know, overanalyzing things and, well, no, just let them be how they are. Don't let them be thinking about how they are, thinking about how they're in a movie or how their life is part of a movie or whatever the fuck. Just let them be kids and live and be real. And this is what I enjoyed about it. Even though the acting wasn't great, it was just like, well, they're being as real as they can be.
No, definitely.
Like, I just love, like, I never thought Ricky would be such a boss. I thought he'd be getting his ass kicked around here or something like that. But no, he's leading his baseball team to victory against older kids and making them look like jackasses doing it. He's telling the counselor Gino in charge of the game, like, yeah, just go ahead and throw this guy out, Gino. This guy blows dead dogs. And the guy gets so mad about it. Like, take it back! I do not blow dead dogs!
I forgot all about that. Yeah, the
They get a bet going on the game too. Like, they actually get a bunch of money involved. The other guy's telling Ricky, like, hey, you want to make this game interesting? Well, it's still close. He's like, what do you got in mind? And at first, I misheard what he said. I thought he said, "Fuck a man, asshole." He's like, buck a man for, like, how many runners they get in. He's like, and then Ricky, like a boss, he goes, that's a little steep. How about $5 a man? And then fucking cleans him out. Yeah. It was amazing.
Well, Gene already had $5 riding on the game anyways, on his own team to win. But then, was one of the other things that you liked about this movie the fact that there was a skinny dipping scene of all men?
No.
Skinny dipping together?
No. I mean, that was there, but fortunately that was cut out of this version, because I found out the VHS version was unedited, and there were little bits cut out of the DVD release.
Well, they showed them all skinny dip. When the guy was in the canoe, all the guys jumped in the water, and the girls just stayed on the beach. What I read was cut was them running around naked. You don't actually see them naked, but they do mention going skinny dipping, and they all take off their shirts, and you see some pants go flying. And
I guess I repressed the man ass.
And then they're just shown in the water all swimming together as the girls are just standing on the beach.
Well, just like so many other things too, because a little bit later in the movie, they're planning to prank this one girl, Leslie, get her out on a canoe on the lake with one of the guys, and
same scene.
Yeah, but at the beginning. They've got, like, two guys just randomly, like, smoking up beforehand.
Oh, man, they're so high.
And they run
high.
Over to the crowd. They're just like,
they're so high.
Oh, you see Leslie coming? It's just like any other time. Now, you can't do that now. No. Any drug use that isn't shown in a negative light is automatically an R rating, if not higher. Fuck you. It's real. It happens. Fucking deal with it. They're not snorting coke. They're smoking a little pot and having fun. Fuck
some,
you.
Some Scarface action going on the side of the camp. Big pile of coke.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was,
would explain Angela's intensity, I guess.
Yeah, I guess, because Angela, like I said before, there's no reason for you to think that anybody else is the killer. At first, before you see really how creepy Angela is, and that people that have wronged her are dying, the only other person you would think it was early on would be Ricky. Because why would it be anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why, story-wise, why would it be anybody else? Maybe Aunt Martha, she could be tropesing around.
Yeah,
the,
but then I think people would have been expecting that, like, oh, she's definitely the new Mrs. Voorhees.
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to see a matchup between Angela and Mrs. Voorhees here. But I do love the one guy, the two guys who get high and end up going skinny dipping later. They're talking about Angela going over and talking to her and asking her to go to the social with them. So they're actually, like, kind of being nice to her at this point for, you know,
for five seconds.
Well, they're before they even go over there, though, they're like, oh, she's kind of weird and messed up and she's Looney Tunes. And so they go over there anyways. And the one guy, after getting denied by Angela, well, she doesn't say anything. He goes, yo, Angela, why are you so fucked up? What's your problem? Like, oh, but yeah, that's just how you want to address somebody, you know, instantly. You know, you're just going to go up to them and just ask them why they're fucked up.
I told you she was playing with half a deck.
And then she ends up actually talking to Paul. Well, this is when she starts talking to anybody, is when Paul is nice to her.
He actually mentions, I heard what happened with your family.
Yeah, yeah. This is the first time this is even mentioned. So you, mm-hmm. This is the first time you even know that you really, really, really for sure know that Angela is the one, the survivor from the boat accident. Because up until then, they didn't mention.
Yeah, they didn't explicitly say it.
You just have to know. You just have to know that this is, this is a thing. Unless you put together the Aunt Martha thing from before, but it was very briefly said earlier on, so you might not. Yeah, when the two guys are high, I love them talking about water snakes over and over again. obviously talking about their penises.
Well, and the one guy's trying to scare the girl, and they're out in the canoe. He's starting to rock the boat, and she's like, don't stop. He's just like, what, you afraid of little snakes and turtles or something? Because the lake's full of water snakes and snapping turtles, you know? So, like, he knocks it over, and she gets pissed off, swims to shore, and all the other guys are like, so, Leslie, you see a water snake?
And the one guy grabs his dick while he's wearing his underwear. That was wonderful. Okay, so he flips the thing over. He sees Leslie swim to the dock.
Yeah, he's underneath the overturned canoe.
But he sees her go swim over to the dock. He watches her. Then he goes under the canoe. And then who the fuck is he talking to?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Leslie.
You see the back of the head.
Leslie, where are you? And then he starts saying all this other dumb shit. Like, who the fuck is he talking to? Like, nobody can hear him under here. And there's nobody else here, so why? Who the fuck is he even talking to? Well, then
he's just not giving a shit. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, he just doesn't give a shit. Which he ends up getting killed anyways, drowned, and apparently cut up and stuff. You don't get to see the scene of him getting sliced up, but when you see his body, he has cuts all over him, and
a little water snake crawling on him.
Yeah, a little water snake crawling on him too. So
then the police are called, and they still try to cover this up and act like it's an accident. And Mel's pushing the police officer really hard, which shouldn't be. Just like, so it looks like a drowning, and da-da-da-da, and he's just like, so, what do you think? And the cop goes, well, there's no bumps or bruises, though again, I'm no expert on this matter, but we'll just have to wait and see what the coroner says. Like, really? Really? He wasn't just drowned, he's cut up at least a little. Oh, no, it might have been an accident, I don't know. I'm a simple man over here.
Yeah. You know what, we were talking before about the music choices in this movie, about how there was a couple in the background that were written specifically for the movie. The song at the end is Angela's song, a really creepy song that plays at the end of the movie. But what was with the music when Paul goes to kiss Angela? He goes to kiss her two times, and she doesn't want to kiss him. And as he goes in there for the first kiss, it's like, and then when he does it again, they do the same, like, suspenseful music. Like, why is that suspenseful? And there was no music going on.
Well, you'll find out later.
Well, yeah, but
when you think about it.
Yeah, I guess when you think about it in retrospect, it kind of is. But it really isn't, though. He just went in for a kiss, and I don't know why they had to, like, play it as she denied it. Like, every time she denied it, then it would happen. I thought it was a very, very interesting choice. And then, I mean, there's just so many reasons for, I guess, not many reasons, but Angela killing these people, there's no real reason. Other than that they wronged her, they bullied her.
The pedo guy, I could see that.
The pedo guy, I can see that. But everybody else, they kind of just bullied her. And I really don't see, like, the one girl kind of went psycho on her, like, flipped the fuck out.
Yeah, that was just ridiculous. Like, they're mad because she's starting to get a little bit of something going with Paul, and the way that they seem to be older, or at least they're acting like they don't give a fuck about Paul and Ricky, they're just like, whatever, you know, so they see him starting to get just a little bit of something going with her, and she's sitting on a bench while they're playing a volleyball game, and they immediately kick Paul out of there, and he's trying to talk to her a little bit more, and go like, hey, how come she just gets to sit here and talk to boys all day and we have to play volleyball? Oh, such a punishment, you fucking cunt.
Yeah. The one girl goes complete psycho on her, though.
Yeah,
like,
they just
almost like
out
hitting
on
her
right there.
And, like, somebody has to come over and, like, grab her because she's fucking freaking out.
The nicer counselor, you know, gets her to fuck off then. Then they go back to the cabin. Then they start in again. Meg and Judy both are just like, Yo, Angela, what's your problem? How come you won't shower with the rest of us? You queer something?
Which doesn't make any sense. Yeah. If she was queer, she'd definitely want to be showering with everybody else, with all the girls. Yeah, that made no sense. And then they were mentioning how she had, you have no hair down below.
Yeah, I know what it is. You haven't had puberty yet. You don't have any hair down there.
I love when,
she's a real carpenter's dream. Vlad is a board and needs a screw.
A little bit after that, she gets hit with a water balloon, and she literally acts like she got shot by, like, a gun. And everybody else's reactions is the same way. Like, when she gets hit, she literally goes down, like, as if you were shot by a gun. And then Ricky comes out, starts flipping out.
Oh, he's, like, the biggest cuss box ever, and I love it.
The owner is, like, flipping out, too.
Fuck you, you fucking assholes! I'll kick your fucking asses! I'll kill every last fucking one of you!
Yeah. Yeah, it was really, really weird. And there were some really interesting deaths in this movie as well. One shortly after that was the wasp or bee's nest or whatever.
Yeah, the guy that hit Angela with the water balloon, he's like, I'll be right there. Hang on, I gotta take a wicked dump. So then he goes in the bathroom, which apparently only has screen windows on it. And all of a sudden, you know, somebody comes up and slices through the screen while he's taking a shit, and then comes in with a beehive on a stick with no bees flying around it, but still making the bee sound effect, and drops it in there. And just, oh no! Well, she's got a broomstick in between the door handles, so he can't open the door of the stall.
But he does, though. He breaks free.
Well, he breaks it out eventually, or breaks out eventually, but...
Apparently it was too late.
Yeah, oh yeah.
The thing is...
Did they even have killer bees back then? He must have been allergic, I guess.
That's what I was going to get to. There's no implication that these are killer bees. Where would she find killer bees? And two, I would have made sense if maybe at some point randomly he would have mentioned how he's allergic to bees.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know. Like, how do they know? How did she know he was allergic to bees?
But you know
what? Is he even allergic to bees? Or were there just so many bees he just couldn't take it and he gave up?
From that small of a hive, I wouldn't think so.
He just gave up on life. He just gave up.
You know what? I got my ass kicked by Ricky in every way imaginable. Fuck it.
There's no more living. These bees are taking me over. They're covering my face. I'm done. Yeah, I didn't get that death at all. It was really, really weird. As far as surprises go in this movie, the end, one massive surprise. But before then, you were revealed in a flashback scene of Angela's dad and his gay lover, who was the guy that was on the beach earlier. And what is this backstory
just
going on here?
Just laying in bed with each other, like, one holding the other and just sort of like stroking each other's hair and faces.
Yeah, but like, yeah, this is like a whole thing. Yeah. Like, and it's not really, they don't really go further into it. And it's just like, why was this a choice? Not that it's like a bad thing, like, oh, it's bad to be gay. It's more of like a bad choice as into why. Just why was this, why did this need to be a thing?
But then they show Angela and Peter as children, like, in bed together, and Peter holding out his finger and Angela being reluctant to touch it, and I'm just like, oh boy. Was did this lead to some kind of weird incest
thing?
That's
what I assumed that it, but the thing is, though, it could have been her mom and dad they walked in on, and they could have went and done the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, why was there this sub backstory of a gay lover with their dad?
Maybe
it was a very weird choice.
Maybe this would be the whole thing then, to set up the whole, you know, Angela's a man, this is why she doesn't want to go too far with Paul, because he'll find out, and then, you know, she saw that and thought it was bad, and then if we do stuff together, we're bad, so I have to kill him and cut off his head instead.
I guess. I don't know. I just don't.
But, yeah, it's the whole thing is just a hot mess.
Yeah, just some real interesting incest.
And then you're just left with it.
Yeah, you're just left with it. Because it really doesn't go back to any... It doesn't ever go back to that flashback. The next flashback we see is at the end. The reveal at the end.
Aunt Martha.
Which you just said, like, Angela, she ends up... It's not... The ending is the other big surprise here. Where it's... Angela is not Angela... Angela is Peter.
Aptly named, I guess.
Yeah, aptly named. Angela is actually Peter. So the person who survived the boat accident in the beginning wasn't the girl whose name we really don't know. Her name wasn't Angela. Her name was, we don't know. It's just...
In the credits, it said young Angela.
Oh, well, I guess because you're led to believe that it's Angela, so that you can call her young Angela. But Aunt Martha just decides to name her Angela.
Oh.
Because at the end of the movie... Before we get to a few other weird things, we'll talk about the end of the movie here. The end of the movie, Angela tells Paul, come meet me at the waterfront.
After the social.
After the social. So they meet down there, and she wants to go skinny dipping.
She's like, let's go swimming, and like they're in nicer clothes for the social. He's like, well, what about our clothes? And she goes, take them off. And he's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so she decides to finally get naked or whatever in front of somebody else. And Ronnie and the one other older girl run up, see Angela with Paul's body, all bloodied and everything, and this weird, creepy noise, like, and then it cuts to a flashback that, why are the flashbacks, both flashbacks, by the way, are all black rooms, some smoke going around, and then, like, one object.
Because why, like, not?
And when the kids see the room, there's not a door.
Because shit's about to get so surreal, like, you might as well. There's just
a bed in a black room with smoke. And then, same thing here. The black room, smoke, and a staircase. And you have what you don't know who this is yet, but you see Aunt Martha talking about a little boy. What's the here she says, oh, you're going to enjoy living with us so much. Yes, I know you are. As a welcome home present, I bought you such wonderful new clothes. I just hope that Richard doesn't get jealous that I didn't get him anything. Oh, but then, he is such a dear. I'm sure he won't mind. You see, I've always wanted a little girl. But of course, when my husband left... Oh, well, that's all water under the bridge, as I always say. Water under the bridge! But it certainly will be a nice little surprise when Richard comes home to find a little girl in the house. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've always dreamed of a little girl just like you. And so, even after this speech, you're thinking, okay, it's still Angela, you know? Until they show the face of the person with a bandage wrapped around their head, and it's Peter. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm gonna change your name. Like, she's like, now I can make my own little girl. I'm going to call you Angela, because it means angel, and that's what you are, an angel. And so it's like, what the fuck? Like, even before you even fully see Angela, which is even more fucked up, this is why there's no, who else would the killer be, because that's not the big reveal at the end. The big reveal is that Angela is really a man, is really Peter, and that... Her fucked up crazy aunt, which is Ricky's mom, which I'm sure Ricky thinks his mom is already weird enough, let alone, does Ricky know?
I don't think so.
That's what I mean, though. Like, he doesn't know. So he doesn't even know that his mom is that fucked up that she would take his cousin, Peter, and make him a girl. And why didn't Peter ever say anything? He was clearly old enough to talk. You know what I mean? He was like 5 years old or something. So at 5 years old, just go along with, okay, I'm going to be a girl now. Literally. Literally. He could have been older than 5 years old. What kid between the ages of like 5 and like 10, we'll say, well, is just, okay, I'm just going to go along with being a girl now.
I'm sure Aunt Martha was putting happy pills in his oatmeal for quite some time. Yeah. Until he just came to accept his new reality and, well, perhaps even enjoy it a bit.
Yeah, I guess she ended up enjoying it. And then it's really Peter. Oh, God, it's such a fucked up thing. And then Angela gets up, covered in blood.
Holding Paul's severed head.
Oh, yeah.
Poor bastard.
Yeah.
Pour one out for my boy.
And they show, and it's Angela's head with a man's body. It's so poorly done. Like, I know this wasn't the days of CG and whatever they can do. They wouldn't even have to use a man's body. They can just, like, tack on a CGI penis at this point. But, like, it's, like, it makes it even creepier. It really did make it even creepier that it was, like, her head imposed onto somebody else's body. It made it so much more creepier. And she's doing this face. I mean, just type in Sleepaway Camp on Google Images. This picture's gonna come up before the poster. Is her with that face, just that creepo, super creepo face, just, and going, and like, why is she doing that? Why? Why didn't she literally become a monster?
I am the Lizard Queen.
Yeah. Maybe it was Luna Vachon.
Yep. Yep.
As Angela. I don't know. I don't know the choice there, why to do that, like, insane, And then you just have Ronnie, and they cut back to Ronnie and that other girl, like, it can't be. No way. And she's just standing there all bloodied and naked, and you just see her Wang hanging out. Literally. You just got Angela Wang just, like, sitting there full on bush going on, which apparently the guy who was the stand-in completely shaved his whole body so it would look like a girl or something, I guess. Like, it would make sense. Like, you know what I mean? She would have those, like, she'd be like a young boy, or a, you know, with no hair. But apparently he had one giant bush going on. Because from what I could tell, it was dark, but it looked like there was a full-on bush going on. A bloody dick. That's what you got to see. A fucking bloody dick. A bloody dick that was somebody else's blood on that dick. And that's what the ending of this movie was. And literally, that's the ending of the movie.
Yep.
The bloody body, bloody naked body of transsexual Angela.
Freeze frame on Angela's monstrous face. Yeah,
freeze frame on this.
Well, you play the entire credits over it, and then pause for a few seconds even after all the credits are gone, just to make sure it's burned into your memory forever. Yeah,
because the face literally will give you nightmares. It is the creepiest fucking face ever. And not only does it go cut to just that, it goes green.
Yeah.
Like, for whatever reason, it goes green. I guess it would have been even creepier for them to just roll the credits over the face. I really don't know. And it literally just ends. It just ends. You don't get any explanation of why Angela killed everybody. Just because she's messed up in the head, I guess. Like, why was she so quiet all the time? Because she knew she was a boy and didn't want anybody to know? Or if she knew she was a boy, why not just go along with everything? Like, or did she really think she was a girl that just had a penis? I really just don't understand. It's a really weird choice at the end. And that's what makes it so good, because it's literally an ending you could never guess. There's never in a million years, if you watch this movie going into it with never having seen it before, at the end of the movie, before the end of the movie, you go, I bet Angela is really a man. You would never say that. That's the genius behind the ending of this movie. It's literally the most unpredictable ending to a movie. It's the ultimate twist ending. Like, M. Night Shyamalan has nothing on this fucking shit. Because I didn't see at the end of the fucking village Sigourney Weaver standing there with a fucking big wang.
You know what? Maybe it should just be a movie where everybody has a wang, regardless of gender.
Well, if they were... Well, maybe it'd be the other way. All the girls have wangs and all the guys have vaginas. And they're all just standing there.
This is how Freaky Friday should have ended.
Lindsay Lohan really just has a penis?
Which should explain her aggressive, drunken behavior all the time. Boom!
Well, now we got Amanda Bynes to take over that reign, so it's okay. Apparently she's been on a collision course with life lately. Just going off the deep end, driving cars recklessly.
Recklessly?
Recklessly. Getting, like, mass amounts of plastic surgery. Looking like she's like a fucking 64-year-old woman at this point, and
wow.
Yeah, just completely fucking up her life after apparently retiring from acting. I don't know what the fuck. Yeah, she just fucking went off the deep end there. I guess Lindsay Lohan can just kind of sit back and relax now, and so all that bullshit's happened. But yeah, the ending is just like, I guess you can't. I want so many people to see this movie. because I know that their minds will just be... I want to sit there and watch this movie with a group of people that have never seen this to just see their reaction at the end of the movie.
Yeah, this was like the previous generation's Two Girls, One Cup.
Oh, man, Angela should have been in Two Girls, One Cup.
Oh, no.
One girl, one tranny, one cup.
Oh, God. Maybe she could squeeze some diarrhea out her dick hole.
Oh, what?
Well, one, that was actually a line from Angry Video Game Nerd, and for another, I actually saw photos of that prior to Angry Video Game Nerd even coming into existence. Back, just, I think it was Rotten.com or something. Oh, I was tricked into days. That from a terrible link. Like, oh, check out this. And it was a series of photos because they couldn't really do streaming video back then with dial-up connections. A series of photos of the guy who'd... shit out like borderline liquid but still slightly solid shit, stuck one of those like meat injectors for doing like, you know, basting and shit, like God. Filled it up, stuck it in his dick hole, filled it up, and then squeezed it out.
Oh my god.
So I could just see, let's take it further, Angela's got shit coming out her dick. Shit dick again.
Who's gonna clean my shit dick? Like it's so weird because throughout the whole movie, she never had any sort of manly voice. She had a very, obviously, feminine voice, played by a female the whole movie. And for her to just be at the end, just, like, why is she a monster now? Why is she literally just a creature of the night? Like, she just became a creature of the night. And it's a very odd thing to happen. It's a very odd thing. It's just like, okay, yep, this is, I guess, the thing now. Yeah, very, very, very weird ending to this. It's definitely mind-blowing for the first viewing. Something else I wanted to touch on, too, besides the ending being so fucking mind-blowing and insane, is, back to the gay lover thing, the dad-gay lover thing. I couldn't get over that for a little while because it's just, like, I can't believe that it happened. I forgot about that, actually, watching the movie this time. I forgot all about that. And one thing I have a question about it. Why didn't the gay lover take Angela?
Because they had no rights to do that?
Yeah, I guess. He could have adopted her.
Probably still don't. Like, a lot of times still in, you know, situations where, you know, like, somebody who isn't a biological parent, you know, the other person dies, and even if they are married, you know, there might still be a conflict in family. Oh, no, we're family. We want the kid.
Yeah, I guess Aunt Martha would probably be that kind of way. Because I was wondering, I didn't mean, like, why, like, they probably, oh, they obviously weren't married, but, like, why didn't he, like, adopt her or something like that? But you were saying...
You think the courts really would have favored a queer back then,
yeah,
Corey?
Well, they didn't know that he was a queer. It was a
Well, why else would he be trying to adopt him, you know?
Yeah, yeah, true. So, one other thing, though, you were mentioning, Aunt Martha looking like a drag queen. What if that was the gay lover? Aunt Martha is the gay lover.
And then Aunt Martha Ricky comes up behind Ronnie and the other girl and just stabs them and just pulls it out, too. They just stand there, and just start jerking it together.
Jerking it with their blood-covered dicks.
Across the streams of their cum.
clean this blood off my dick. No. Yeah, like, what if Ricky, that's Ricky's dad, but he didn't know since birth, like, something happened where they just... He killed the mom and then took the role of the mom and just became Martha. And, and that's why he turned to Angela that way. Like, oh, I can change somebody else just like I changed my own self.
I told you your father left us, but what really happened was your mother couldn't give me the daughter I'd always wanted. I even tried cutting out her lady parts and putting them into myself, but... That just, it didn't work at all.
I still have pieces of her vagina in my asshole.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Oh, that's over the line. Not meat thermometers or what, meat injectors with shit filled.
Pieces of vagina, that's it. They're supposed to be whole. So they can function as such, but a hole, that is.
It was hard getting them out, okay? So he
okay.
Had
to- Well, one other thing I liked in this movie was we didn't have any of this, you know, turn all the guys into pussies. You know, Paul's making his moves. He's doing it very confidently. But maybe pushing just a little too much, but probably not. He wants to get shit done, and he's going for it. And they should have more
confidence.
More confident males in movies these days, especially in, like, romantic movies, romantic comedies, instead of just being all, well, God, I don't know. I think I'm just going to have to wait for the girl to be the aggressor and get me, because that doesn't happen in real life. Unless you have a real ball-busting bitch, in which case she's not someone you want to hitch yourself to.
One other thing that boggled my mind, actually, was the fact that Meg wanted to bang Mel, the owner.
Oh, yeah. Why the hell...
Why was that that's another weird side story. It's just like they keep throwing these out, these like, you know, curveballs at you. These weird like things. Like, why was that a thing?
I don't know why she'd want to do that, but since they had the pedo cook there, Artie or whatever, maybe he touched her and then that got her all in the, oh, I was abused, so now I'm just hypersexual and I'll go for any dirty old man because I need the abuse or some shit. So yeah, but yeah, what She's got, like, you know, plenty of guys her own age there. Why would you go with him? Not like he can really offer you anything. What's he going to do? Let you camp for free or something?
Like... Yeah. I did like the kill in the shower when she killed Meg. I thought that was a pretty sweet kill with the blood coming down side of the shower stall. I enjoyed that. So when she kills Judy, did she stick the curling iron in her vagina? Is that how
she
killed her?
I don't know where she put it. I don't know how she was able to kill her with a curling iron. I thought maybe she was going to shove it down her throat or something, but she puts a pillow over her head, so I don't know what she did with the curling iron.
So she smothered her and shoved a curling iron in her vagina.
Yes. You know, I actually, it was a thing I threw out about a year ago with my Frisbee team. I was one of our random lines when we were trying to get somewhere and having problems. I was like, well, fuck my tits with a curling iron. And they were just like, oh, God, you don't mean one that was actually on, do you? Like, no, Blake. I mean one that was cold and wouldn't do anything. God.
Well, this was,
Well, fuck my vagina with a curling iron.
Fuck my vagina with a curling iron, because it literally happened, and it will kill you.
I am a little disappointed. They showed us just about all the other bodies. They didn't show us what happened to Judy, and that bitch really deserved to die.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved when
she
Mel,
was definitely super evil.
When Mel came in and, like, scared the guy, he hides under the bed, and then he leaves, he goes, I think I better beat it in more ways than one.
Oh, yeah. She's, when she's kissing that guy, she goes, do you have to kiss so wet? Yeah. That was a really, really odd choice there.
I guess she wants her whole romantic experience to be as dry as her dusty old vagina.
And another ridiculous scene, and I don't have any much else to talk about other than Ricky getting beat by Mel. It was such an insane scene. It was
a
scene out of Planet of the Apes. Like the apes just like pounds
out
on the...
tackles Ricky to the ground. He's just like, you did it, and like, I guess he was supposed to have been trying to beat him to death, but he's not even making fists. He's just like slapping him, and he's not even slapping him hard. So then he's like, oh, I got to get out of here. I wrote, Ricky's dead. I call bullshit. But then fortunately, he was still alive, just bloodied somehow. I don't know how you get bloodied from you know, effortless slaps, but okay.
Yeah, I don't really.
But then he gets shot right through the throat with an arrow.
Arrow to the neck. Yeah. Just a... some really weird choices in this movie, but it just takes over everything. It just takes over every aspect of this movie because it's so fucking out there. It's just such an odd, crazy choice to have in this movie. It's just, you know, it's something else. That's definitely what it is. So that was Sleepaway Camp. I'm sure we'll be doing the sequels in the near future. I'm sure they're not as shocking as this one was, but I'm sure they're just as hilarious and out of control. It's just this is definitely a movie I highly recommend. I mean, if you haven't seen it, I mean, if you listen to this point, you know the ending, which is unfortunate, but the ending is just, it's just something that needs to be seen by others. It's so ridiculous. So this was episode number 29. For episode 30,
Rollerball.
You want to do Rollerball?
Rollerball!
So that's all.
With Paul Heyman!
It's fine. Actually, let me make sure it's still on Netflix, because today some movies got taken away from Netflix.
Okay.
Because Warner is starting their own streaming service.
Oh, for fuck's
Warner Instant. A lot of people were griping so much about it online, but honestly, when I looked at my queue, the amount of movies that disappeared from my Instant queue were like maybe 30, not even. So... Nope, Rollerball still on Netflix, so we're set there. Chris Klein, Jean Renault, LL Cool J, Rebecca Romaine, Stamos, or O'Connell, or whatever the hell her last name is now, and Paul Heyman, and Shane McMahon. And
oh, Shane, too?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Shane has a small cameo in this. I can't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure they made a big deal about it on WWF at the time.
They make a big deal about everything. Did you know more people watched WWF last night than jerked off in their grandmother's swimming pool?
It's true, though. More people. It's a tie. It's a tie. I think there were a lot of people jerking off in their grandma's swimming pool last night, or Monday night. So, yeah. Next week will be Rollerball, the remake of the James Caan classic. So we'll see how ridiculous we get with LL Cool J, especially with his most recent accidental racist song that was out of this world. So, yeah, check that song out, too. Brad Paisley, LL Cool J song, Accidental Racist. It's absolutely terrible. So for B-Movie Breakdown, I'm Corey.
I'm DRC. And, well, I have to get rid of this bloody dick now.
It's the best of the worst B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst.